إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. We greet you from Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina, with a greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, inshallah, which is June 22nd for the year 99, this class considers the 49 class. Since we start our explanation for the book Bulugh al-Maram, and this class constitutes the first class in the fifth album. We had finished the fourth album, which dealt with business and transaction, and today inshallah this is a new album for a new chapter, and this is chapter number 8, Kitab al-Nikah, the book of marriage. And for those brothers and sisters who have a copy of the book Bulugh al-Maram, attainment of the objective, for al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, they may open their book to page number 342, and this is hadith number 824. This is a new chapter and called Kitab al-Nikah. And al-Nikah, linguistic speaking, to add something to others or for something to go inside others. And we utilize this term al-Nikah for conducting a marriage ceremony. And also the word nikah used for to be expression to mean intercourse. And the first hadith in our chapter today, hadith which is reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. قال لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. Narrated Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith which he reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, O young men, those of you who can support a wife should marry, for it, that means marriage, controls the gaze and prevents ones from immorality. But those who cannot should fast, for it is means of suppressing of sexual desire. The hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O young men, let those who have the means, financial means, a support for a wife, from dowry, from everyday expenses, cost, rent, whatever it takes as expenses of marriage, let the ones who have the means, and especially the financial means, as long he have it, and especially those young men, because the shahwa and the desire with the young men is more stronger than the older people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving this special addressing to the young men, and for among the young men who have the means financially to get married, let them get married. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because marriage is a means to help you to lower your gazes, and also is a means to protect your private parts from indulging in the haram by having illegal intercourse. But let those who have no means, those who do not have the financial means to support a wife, to pay a dowry for a wife, what they supposed to be doing? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for them to fast, to observe fasting. Why? Because this will be a means to control and help them of thinking Imam. I'm sorry, because the microphone I'm using, the telephone I'm using, I have one in my ear and one in front of my mouth, so I hear your discussion is disturbing me. I'm sorry, Akhi, I don't mean to okay, thank you. So in this hadith, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanding iffah, that a person have to stay away from the haram, and also he encouraging us to get married, and also that a person should find means and ways to reduce the desire if he did not have the means to get married. And one of the good means, as example, that a person to fast. Wa alaykum as-salatu Allah. There is other means, as example, if a person go and exercise, jogging, if a person get busy with different kind of lawful activities and sports and anything like this. But the best means here, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is directing us to utilize it, is the fasting. Because the fasting, it will be a religious benefit for you, and in the meantime will help you about controlling your desire and your lust. And the hadith, as we had mentioned, is authentic. The next hadith, which reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حمد الله وأثنى عليه وقال لكني أنا أصلي وأنام وأصوم وأفطر وأتزوج النساء فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. This is a portion of hadith. The hadith is reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is muttafaq alayh, is authentic, is agreed, is in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim. And we heard this hadith last week in the khutbah about those people who came to the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioning and tried to learn about the form of ibadah, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshiping Allah. So in the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was given a khutbah which he had praised Allah first, and after this he glorified him and say, but as for me, I am a one who pray at night as well sleep, and also I'm a person who break fast and fast some days, and I'm a person also who get married. So whosoever object my tradition, whosoever act in a way different from my teaching, he is not part from me, he's not part of my followers, he's not part of my community. And this hadith shows us the necessity of following the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we could not live or act in any means or any ways with assumption that we're going to get closer to Allah, and this means and this ways is not legislated or directed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's our imam. He is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him how to worship him. And we could not invent a way different from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even if we have a good intention, because good intention is not going to change, is not going to change the haram to halal, neither going to make the bid'ah, the innovation, to make it sunnah. So the best way and the shortest way and the safest way is to follow the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also we see the modest way of Islam, that it doesn't take any extreme, okay? It doesn't go to make the body tired in the expenses of the soul, okay? So it can achieve happiness or paradise. So you find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always taking the middle course. He's a person who spend some time during the night in prayer and tahajjud, but in the same time he gave himself a rest. And he also a person who enjoy himself with the lawful enjoyment of this life. So the best and the barakah and the blessings in following the middle course which is directed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a form of call rahbaniyah, and the rahbaniyah is a person avoiding all the good things of this life with intention of getting closer to Allah. So he doesn't eat from the food except a little and rough food. He doesn't eat the fruits, he doesn't eat the meat, he doesn't get married, he doesn't, you see, so he try actually to live out of this life with what only keep him alive, and he try to stay away from everything that has any enjoyment. This is called a rahbaniya, which is almost like one of the ways of the Sufis. Okay, they have certain exercise, certain food to eat and certain food not to eat, sitting in dark places and all these things, certain exercises with the idea or the understanding that this is going to bring them closer to Allah. And this is rejected by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not acceptable. This Islam is the deen of yusr, the deen of ease, and we shouldn't make things difficult for us. And also from this hadith we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging the people to get married, and also that we have to be concerned about our body, that we give our body the necessary rest so it can be able to carry the command and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I stated, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 826. وعنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالباء وينهى عن التبتل نهيا شديدا ويقول تزوج الودود الولودة فإني مكاثر بكم الأنبياء يوم القيامة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith which reported also by Anas, and the hadith is sahih but is sahih لغيري, that mean is good but not good by itself, it became authentic as a result of other narration lift it up to be to the degree of authentic. We call it sahih لغيري. In that hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to encourage the people to get married and used to forbid them from at-tabattul. What's the word? Celibacy? Yeah. See, actually this is the word that I was looking for, which is at-tabattul or yes, I just said it in Arabic in the last hadith, al-Rahbaniya, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell them, marry women that lovable, bearing children, because I will compete with the prophets before me with your population or with your number in the day of judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to encourage the Sahaba to get married, and also he encouraged them to marry the woman that she will have love for her husband, a woman who can bear children, because this is one of the purpose of getting married. And he said that he will be proud with our number in the day of judgment, and he will be glad with his ummah and will be like a competition with the other prophets in the day of judgment. In page number 343 and hadith 827, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تنكح المرأة لأربع, لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولدينها فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. متفق عليه. The hadith is authentic. The hadith which is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what the meaning is. A man desire a woman for one of these four reasons: because her property or her wealth, or her hasab, her rank, which she understand her family and her father, who's her grandfather, what tribe she's from. This is called hasab, the rank. Or he may desire marry a woman because her beauty, and also a man will desire a woman because her religion, her taqwa of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying here, so get a woman in marriage because her religion, or otherwise that your hand will be close to dust. That means this is the expression taribat yadak, that a person that almost like he don't have anything. So when somebody, he says that his hand in the dust, or touches the dust, the dirt or the ground, whatever you want to call it, that means barely has nothing in his hand. Okay, and this hadith, it doesn't mean that if a man marry a woman because her beauty, that this is haram, or that a man marry a woman because she's a rich woman, that this is haram. Okay, but here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directing us to what is more important, what is more be in mind when somebody looking for marriage. But if a man marry a woman because that she's pretty, or because that her father is so and so, or she's from such a tribe, the marriage is still acceptable, is okay. But these things doesn't stay, okay? Because maybe understand a woman because she's rich, she feels she's better than the husband, and this will bring about a problem, or because she feels that she's pretty, that everybody wished to marry her, now she feels that she's too good for him, or all these things that she all, or that because her rank, my father is so and so, I came from tribe so and so, she always looking down on him, and doesn't even give him respect, all these things. But a woman who has the deen, has the taqwa of Allah, now what is going to guide her in everything, when she talks, when she behaves, when she goes, when she comes, will be the teaching of Islam. So this will be what a man going to win, winning a woman that have the deen, because the deen will be like a guard, or like a guard over her. Check her out always. Whenever she do something, she going to be thinking about what Allah said, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And we understand that a woman is not going to be a woman who is religious without her parents also teaching her and disciplining her. And this is both some responsibility in us as a parents, that we have to do the best to raise our children in Islamic manner, especially the girls, that they going to be a good wife, or other wife, you understand, otherwise things doesn't happen like this. It have to be some kind of contribution from the parents specifically, and from the school also, and from the whole environment that surrounding this little girl until she will reach an age that she be ready for marriage. So from this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the marriage, but from the woman who have the religion, and that a man is not supposed to be concerned about one of the other qualities and neglect the deen. And from this hadith also we see that Islam is concerned about raising a Muslim family, because your wife or this woman that you're going to marry here with a deen, she is the first teacher for your kids. Okay, So this is very important to have a good family, that you be looking also for a Muslim woman with a taqwa of Allah. This hadith, it teaches us that we should be concerned about our future, more about a temporary things, okay, that people sometimes get involved thinking about what they want to do now, this moment. But you're supposed to be looking about what, 5-10 years from now, okay? So now when you only worry about this woman being pretty, so what about after 10 years when she get older, okay? Or if she has the money, what about, you understand, what's, when these things goes away? But a person should be concerned about the future, and we're talking about again being living with her and being having children from her. She's going to be the teacher and the one who disciplines these kids. So it is very important that we always, when we act or when we go about conducting something in our life, that we be try to look for our future and be concerned about it more than only looking for the moment that we in. From this hadith, we understand that a person can be using certain expression, although that the expression does not mean what is it may seem to. So when Rasulullah said taribat yadak, that is expression it been used, okay, but he's not like cursing or that he calling bad names or anything like this, the term of taribat yadak. I don't see him translating the word here in English, so I'm telling you what actually the word to the best of my knowledge. So like I said, taribat yadak, from that your hand is touching the dirt, okay? That means you don't have anything, like a loser, being a loser, okay? That you don't have anything else. Hadith number 828. وعنه, that means from Abu Huraira also. كان إذا رفأ إنسانا إذا تزوج قال بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير. رواه أحمد والأربعة وصححه الترمذي وابن خزيمة وابن حبان. The hadith is authentic anyway. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi and Nisa'i, and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say congratulations to somebody for being getting married or want to give him a good word, so he used to supplicate and make dua by saying barakallahu laka, may Allah bless you, and may Allah make his blessings upon you, and may Allah bring both of you together in good. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allah bless you, grant you blessings and prosper your union. Okay, and this is also from the adab that a Muslim should learn to say when somebody get married, to say barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. And this is one of the things that we should learn to make dua, especially for those people who get married, and that we should try to use the Islamic terminology in everything, especially if it have occasion, okay? So, and instead somebody saying Mabruk or Mubarak or something like this, congratulations to you, We need to learn the sunnah so we can implement the sunnah in our life to the best of our ability. So instead of saying to somebody congratulations, we can say to him barakallahu laka wa barak alayk wa jama' baynakuma fi khair. And also this is the things, one of the things that bring closeness to the Muslims, to one another. That when you're making dua for your Muslim brother concerned about their happy occasion, and so these things is very important that we learn it. And when you making dua for your Muslim brother, that the angels also making dua for you. The next hadith, I stated this hadith number 828 is authentic. Next hadith, hadith number 829. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التشهد في الحاجة إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ويقرأ ثلاث آيات رواه أحمد. That the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, this hadith which reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith is authentic, and the hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, والحاكم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And الحاكم. The hadith is authentic. الحاجة, what is the person need from, what you need or being in poverty to something or in need for something. This is called خطبة الحاجة, or what you seeking or what you want. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called, this is called خطبة الحاجة. الخطبة like the speech or addressing the speech. خطبة الحاجة is this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to open his khutbah, regardless if it's khutbah Jum'ah or khutbah before walima, before the nikah, a class, whatever it is. Basically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeat this always before he giving a speech. And he used to say, all praise be to Allah, I praise him, or we praise him, and we see a word, and we seek his help, and we ask his forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah Almighty from the evil that in our self. That whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, that no one mislead him, can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, that no one can guide him after Allah. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite the three verses. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be repeating this khutbah in every occasion, khutbah Jum'ah, khutbah Nikah, we have to learn, you understand, that the importance of this khutbah, and we need to learn it. It's not a matter of learning to memorize the words, but why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always was using this. And in actuality, if we can focus it, like I said last Jum'ah, this one of the ABC of Islam, a student of knowledge, a scholar, whosoever, if he's not going to understand something like this, he's never going to understand the Islam, even if he memorized the whole Islam. Because the completion of Islam means is no need for addition. Okay? And if there is no need for addition, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, okay, that every addition to the religion of Islam is misguidance. So khutbat al-haja is emphasize the purity of Islam and that Islam doesn't need any addition or any innovation. And the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah, which is the most important element of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always focusing in it, because without having the proper tawheed, that is not going to be anything acceptable from the Muslim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Quran, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Indeed, it's been revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as those who before you, that means the prophets, that if you associate a partner beside Allah, all your good deed will be vanished. Okay, so with the tawheed there is guarantee to paradise inshallah, and with shirk and associated partner beside Allah, no good deed can help, even if a person pray day and night. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know that Allah is one and alone, and to direct all form of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khutbat al-haja is very important to be understood. And after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he says this, he will recite the three verses that you usually hear me recite in khutbat al-jum'ah. We found that something common between the three verses that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite, and this is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. Ya ayyuha an-nas taqu rabbakum. Ya ayyuha. So the taqwa of Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watching Allah in whatever we do and whatever we say, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees and hears. And with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can be in a safe condition. And when the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in our life, so is very, very serious and very danger. So the three verses, three of them, they are, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, focusing about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In page number 344, hadith number 830, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خطب أحدكم المرأة فإن استطاع أن ينظر منها إلى ما يدعوه إلى نكاحها فليفعل. This hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is Hassan. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Al-Hakim. The hadith is saying that when one of you intend to marry a woman, okay, إذا خطب أحدكم المرأة, that he's about, that it came to his heart that he want to marry this woman, he's thinking about marrying her, فإن استطاع, if it is in his means to look at her, okay, to whatever encourages him or to marry her, if he have the means to see from her whatever make his intention strong, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, let him to do so. So that mean, as example, if a person thinking about so and so to marry her, so now if he have a means to find a means to see from her whatever change these thoughts to intention and to proceed with, let him do so. And in this hadith, which as I said, the hadith is Hassan, Also will come the next hadith, which is almost in the same meaning, that it is mustahab, okay, it is preferred for the man who intend to marry a woman to go and look at her before he conduct the marriage. But also we have to take in consideration, because I don't want to really go in too much details, I can go for almost 15 minutes reading to you what the scholar said, because they are have a different various opinions about what a man can see from a woman before getting married, okay. But one of the things that we have to take in consideration, that no imam or no sheikh had allowed privacy between a man and a woman before marriage, okay. This is one of the limits that we could not break it. Some of the scholars said, you understand, he can see her hair. Some they said her arms. Some they said they can see her feet. Some said her legs. Some said he can see her neck. Some even went to beyond this, okay. And but basically, the hadith say, if he can, okay. Now, if he found a means to see, it is allowed. But this is not a game now. This is something serious that we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that a person going to sit down now by a swimming pool watching every woman dipping down in this water because, oh, I'm thinking to marry this, okay? No, we're talking about a man who's serious and it came to his mind in his heart that he want to marry sister so and so. Now it is permissible for him to proceed to find a way. Whatever it is, don't go in too much detail, ask me question. Can he go over the roof? Can he buy binoculars? What you call this? Binoculars. Whatever it is means, this is, now you use your mind, okay? Whatever way you're going to do, okay? And you found some which convince you that, yes, this is a woman I want to marry here. The Rasulullah said, if he found a means, he can do so. And we're going to see some of the practice of the Sahaba, okay? As example, we found that, what's his name? I think was Uthman, wait, let me, Uthman's, no. We found... that one of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, he sent his daughter of Ali, her name Umm Kulthum. So Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he sent his daughter Umm Kulthum to Umar so he can see her if he want to marry her. So when Umar looked at her, he left her thawb or her jilbab and he looked at his leg, okay? And in narration, which I'm not sure from it now, that she told him, if you are not the Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will smack you in your face, okay? So, but he did, because he understands that it's permissible for him to do so, and we understand that the leg is part which is covered. But the point here is that we have to understand that is no way can allow privacy for people to go to the movie together or go have dinner together or be someplace by themselves. And to me, my understanding and my explanation to privacy in a society like this, if you go with her to a restaurant, or you walk in the street, or you walk to Sydney Park or Sydney Park, whatever it is now, this is still privacy. For simple reason, we understand that privacy is that a man and a woman be in one place together. That means it be easy for him that he can do something that is not permissible. Saying something out of line or looking to her in a way that's not, or touching her, all these things can be. And this is the reason that Islam forbid privacy, because the possibility that eventually can lead to the haram. So in this society, I will consider a man and a woman that is not married and thinking to get married, being in a Sydney park, is considered privacy. Why? What is going to stop a man to kiss a woman in a public, in a country like this, and who's going to even bother looking at him or her? Nobody going to say, hey, what's he doing? Okay? So in actuality, since in this society, and so-called public area in this society is considered privacy and in Islam, okay? Why? Because what you can do in privacy according Islamic law, you can do in this country in a public place. And as I said, I give example like hugging, holding hands, kissing each other, it can be done without objection from the people that walking in the street. So I will say that this also consider privacy, even if you go in a public place like this. So also we have to understand as a limitation for this, that a man is not supposed to, we answer the question inshallah in the end of the class, but it's good that you can take a note. We said also that a person, as long he did not have a serious intention that he shouldn't look to a woman, okay? You shouldn't look to the women or to a woman specifically, as long you don't have a sincere, serious intention in your heart that you really want to marry her. And also that we shouldn't discriminate or chastise somebody who did this. If we get to know that somebody did this, okay, we shouldn't look down on the person or think that he did something haram. Also in the extreme of this, that some people, like I said, some of the people said a man can even look to the woman